Oh, it's so good to have everyone here this morning. And we all welcome one another as God welcomes us here to Gates Presbyterian Church. And whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first Sunday with us, we are glad you have found your way to this worshiping community. Your bulletin that you have in your hand, full of announcements and calendars for you to learn about the ways that we are church together through worship and fellowship, mission and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or an elder will be standing at the communion table following worship. A few announcements this morning. Let's see, where should we begin? A little bird told me that it's someone's birthday. So I thought, because, you know, we're here in church instead of around tables at Applebee's, we'll make sure that Carol Ann can pretend that, at least by singing to her. So, I know, kind of things you get to do. So, if you would join me in singing happy birthday to Carol Ann. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carol Ann. Happy birthday to you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Friends, if you missed last Sunday, we are sad for you, but are glad that you're here this Sunday. We kicked off the fall season, and Sunday school is indeed in full swing. So if you have children that leave right after the children's sermon, we made sure to include the room numbers in your bulletin so that you could find where your child is going. And don't hesitate, there'll be a few adults wandering around if you have any questions on where your kids go this morning. And following worship, I encourage you all to find your way down to the fellowship hall, not only for some great fellowship and a warm cup of coffee, but because the worship committee is down there selling these great book plates. Because if you haven't heard already, we are on our way to a new hymnal, and you can purchase these book plates for $15, $15, in memory of someone, which is very common. But I encourage you, in fact, I even challenge you to purchase one in honor of someone, to celebrate someone. I bought two last week, one for Lily and one for Nora, my daughters. So if we got all the parents, grandparents, to buy a hymnal in honor of one of their or all of their children, we would be well on our way to singing God's praises with these new hymnals. So $15. And a few other announcements this morning. Linda, go ahead.
Good morning. Next week we will welcome our new child care provider. And I am looking for youth that are in junior high and senior high who would like to help out and volunteer in the toddler room in the nursery. There's a form that you had mailed to you. And I'd like to get this scheduled set up this week, so when Susie Nickel comes next week, we can hand it to her. So if you haven't filled one of these out and you are interested, junior high, senior high boys and girls, fill it out and or see me after church. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. Just want to call attention to all the women in the church. On November 10th and 11th, we're going to have our annual women's retreat at the Center for Renewal at Stella Niagara, which is about an hour and 20 minutes from church. It starts on Saturday morning, November 10th. We're going to offer carpooling here, and we're hoping to have at least 20. We want to get at least 20 minimum to come. There's a sign-up sheet in the kiosk. The theme is soaking in the presence of God. And there's a lot of ideas swirling around about ideas for things that we can do. And if you've never attended a retreat, it is a treat. So hopefully you'll sign up. And if you have any questions, certainly find me. Thank you.
Carol Ann.
And I invite you all to participate on the Wheel-a-Thon. It's next Saturday at Canal Park at 8:30. We'd love to have anybody ride with us that would like to ride with us. All proceeds go to support the youth mission trips. But if you don't want to ride with us, find someone and pledge. It's how we finance those trips, one of the ways. Thank you. I also would like to invite you to second hour today. I'm excited about sharing with you part of my sabbatical, about my sabbatical, but with a special focus on Bangladesh in that trip. Thanks.
Hello, Mission and Peacemaking Committee would like to ask you for a favor. It's easy. All you have to do is bring toys in. People's Ministry in Christ is a neighborhood church in the Edgerton district of Rochester. Through the month of October, I would ask you to bring toys in and drop them off in the foyer. There will be a sign. The People's Ministry in Christ is going to sell the toys. It's going to employ people from the neighborhood so people from the neighborhood can buy them. It's an excellent way to empower people to provide for themselves. Also, the St. Joseph's House of Hospitality will be doing our fall meal October 20th. So there'll be a sign up. I encourage you to sign up. Have a good day.
Thank you. Great job, everyone. My final announcement this morning, it is with a very sad but celebrating a life of a saint in this community. Jack Westfall passed away on a Friday, and his memorial service will be here at the church at 11 a.m. on Tuesday. And we invite you all to come celebrate this wonderful life and to keep Marge and the rest of the Westfall family in your prayers. Let us now prepare our hearts, our whole entire selves, to worship God.
Thank you. Good morning. Would you stand as able and join me in the call to worship? Blessed with earth's abundance. Called to faithfulness,
prophets speak of truth and justice.
Sent to bring good news to the poor, we proclaim in Christ the Jubilee.
Come before God confessing our sins, we can be sure that God forgives us over and over again. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Let us pray. Patient God, even though you say that not everything is beneficial or constructive, we continue to live as though we have the right to do everything we want. Over and over again, we make decisions about what we eat as if it has no impact on your creation. Strengthen us in all that we do so that we might consider the goods of others and do it all to glorify you. Oh God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Jesus proclaimed good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, and the oppressed are set free. In Christ, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite the children forward. Melissa took them to Cameron Community Ministries. That's a place that's not too far from here. And lots of neighbors around Cameron are very poor and don't have enough to eat. So Cameron fixes lunch every single day and invites the neighborhood in, the ones that need to have some extra food. And so all week long, they've been using the vegetables and the fruits that you brought. So thank you so much for bringing those last. I wanted to tell you about a friend of mine. This friend lives a long ways from here. He lives in another country, across the sea. He lives in Jamaica. Now, you know that we send groups of people here from Gates Presbyterian Church to Jamaica very frequently to help with the United Church of Jamaica, the Green Island United Church of Jamaica. But this particular friend lives near the hotel that we stay in. And he meets us every single time we go to Jamaica. And it's always so good to see him. And his name is Bloomblast. Can you say that? That's a funny name, isn't it? Bloomblast. Bloomblast lives by himself, and he's very, very, very poor. His house is so small that literally four people can carry it from one place to another, and sometimes do. Bloomblast only has one set of clothes, and lots of times people around here will give us clothes to take Bloomblast. So because of that, he has a few more clothes now. What I wanted to tell you about Bloomblast is that he gives us the greatest gift. When we are in Jamaica, he gives us a tour of the plants and trees that are in, Jamaica where he lives, because he's so excited about the food that's grown on those trees. He shows us pineapple trees and coconut trees. He shows us banana trees and mango trees and papaya and curry plants. And he smiles the whole time he's showing us those. And frequently he'll pull like a mango off the tree and give it to us to eat. He's so proud of the food that's grown in his country. And he just loves showing it off. And we love seeing it and eating it. Good. You know, it made me think I should be proud of the food that we grow in our area. Anybody know what kind of things we grow in our area? Tomatoes? Strawberries and blueberries? That's exactly right. What? Cream? Trees. We do grow trees. And what grows on those trees? Can anybody tell me? What are on the trees? Apples. That's right. Apples. And how many of you have seen the pumpkins that are in the fields now? We grow pumpkins and squash. You do grow pumpkins?
big pumpkins, and you even have chickens with eggs at your house, right?
Yeah.
So we should be proud of all the things we have in this area, too, and show them off to our visitors. And also always be thankful for the farmers and the farm workers who grow those things. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for all the food that's grown in our area. Thank you for the farmers and the farm workers who grow the food. Amen. All right, you may go to your classes.
Our first reading of the Word this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 31. Hear now the Word of the Lord. All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Do not seek your own advantage, but that of others. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any questions on the ground of conscience. For the earth and its fullness are the Lord's. And an unbeliever invites you to a meal, and you are disposed to go. Eat whatever is set before you, without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, "This has been offered in sacrifice," then do not eat it, out of consideration for the one who informed you, and for the sake of conscience. I mean the other's conscience, not your own. For why should my liberty be subject to the judgment of someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why should I be denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the Church of God. Just as I try, I do not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, so that they may be saved by imitators of me, and I am of Christ.
Thank you.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country, and he began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Last week, I threw out the teaser that today would be the Sunday when we look toward a just food system by incorporating biblical values and practical elements of our faith, of our everyday faith. After 3 weeks of our food and faith worship series, the biblical values are hopefully becoming a little bit more familiar. And I'm convinced that they are. Since at Bible study on Wednesday, someone asked, "Didn't we read these texts last week?" I assure you, we did not read these texts last week, though some of the same phrases and concepts are echoed throughout them all. When Paul quotes Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord and everything in it," as he writes to the church in Corinth. And as Jesus begins his gospel ministry in Galilee, begins his Galilean ministry in the Gospel of Luke, when he returns from the wilderness to teach of God's love and justice, confirming this as a focus of God's kingdom. Jesus reads that scroll from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," otherwise translated as the year of Jubilee. It's those words from the prophet Isaiah that revisit our reading from Leviticus last Sunday, the year of Jubilee. And the original hearers, those listeners, that Jewish community hearing Jesus read that text, they would be making some connections between what Jesus is saying and the implications concerning the Leviticus text and the Jubilee that we as modern day listeners don't necessarily connect as easily. In those words of proclaiming the good news to the poor, the prisoners, the blind, and oppressed, we immediately pick up on the good news for humanity embedded in injustice. But we miss that link that when God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, God asked Moses to speak to the people first about the land, the vineyards, the crops, the livestock, and the wild animals.
the decrees for observing Sabbath and the year of Jubilee are commanded by God for the land and animals to ensure that all creation can cohabitate together. These decrees include, but are not exclusively focused on humanity. So it's really important for faith communities today to reclaim that ancient connection between Jubilee and Sabbath and all of creation. Our concepts of justice include not just justice for the poor and oppressed, but all of the creation that God has blessed us with. Theologian and ethicist Michael Northcott argues that biblical justice is always, always rooted ecologically rather than just socially. To put it another way, we cannot proclaim the good news about the poor unless we have healthy and balanced ecosystems. For it is the poor who suffer first and worst when our misuse of creation leads to environmental disasters. And it is the poor who are most immediately dependent on weather, crops, streams, and mountains, as our church school will be learning about this morning. More than that, though, the biblical concept of God's peaceable kingdom, the vision of shalom and peace, it's one where humanity and nature live in harmony. There needs to be a bigger vision that includes the healing of all creation. So in our present agricultural climate, where food is cheaper than ever, like we talked about last week, and access to good food is more unequal than ever, something we'll talk a little bit more about next week, and where there is more food waste than ever before, how can we embody kingdom relationships in regard to food? How can we be transformed by the renewing of our minds and resist conforming to worldly patterns in our relationship with food? As we are made in the image of God, our responsibility, our calling. Remember the language of our vocation from the time we were placed in the garden, is to nurture and uphold all the delicate ecological relationships throughout creation, remembering the earth is the Lord's. And God cares intimately for all God has made. One of my favorite authors, Shane Claiborne, and he's the author of the book The Irresistible Revolution, says, "Another world is possible. Another world is necessary. Another world is here." We can live out kingdom food relationships in the here and now, learning to eat our daily bread mindfully, with gratitude, supporting and encouraging a just food culture. And so perhaps our motto should be Paul's words. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. But how? I promise that's what we would talk about today. The how. There are many elements of how. And there was a great resource that I've been using for this sermon series. It's from an organization called AROCA. They're in the United Kingdom. The resource called Just Food offers up this helpful mnemonic. Eat less. Oh. I know, it's kind of nice when things work. And I'm not talking about a diet, though given our country's current obesity statistics, most of us could do that too. But for eat less,
The mnemonic, of course, has some points to it. Local. Ethical. Seasonal. And slow. Less. Local, ethical, seasonal, and slow. So, given the fact that most of our food travels over 2,000 miles, from where it was grown to its final destination on our plates, eating locally helps us to reestablish relationships with the people who grew the ingredients, the conditions that they worked in, and the impact of the food on the local environment. Not to mention, it tastes yummy, and local food sustains the local economy. Carol Ann did some great examples with the kids. What is local? Some examples here, a favorite of mine at this time of year. And there's even a new term. I know. If you eat local, you apparently are a locavore. Whether you eat from your garden or visit farmers markets or pay attention to what you're buying at the grocery store, find as much food that is grown as close to home as you possibly can. The E, eating ethically. Last week we touched on the fact that today our global food system sadly embodies huge injustices when our food, when our cheap food is paid for by the back-breaking work by growers, farmers, packers, or migrant workers who are often exploited. And it's not only the people that are exploited. We cannot expect the fossil fuels, the crops they are growing, the land and water that sustains them will continue to be available in an endless or cheap supply. Making choices to purchase food at fair prices that have been grown in ecologically sustainable ways that honor the land it was grown in and fairly compensates the people who grew, produced, transported, and prepared it is a huge step in participating in God's justice in this world. But I'm not going to oversimplify the complexities of this effort. Nor do I want to make ethical eating so out of reach there is nothing we can do. Great strides have been made in organic farming, in raising free-range meat, and the fair trade movement. These are some of the symbols you would see on food that has received the endorsements. And there's a lot of information out there on this, and I know some of it's contradictory to one another. And when it comes to the bottom line, not everyone can afford food with these symbols on it. But I'm encouraged when I hear that any efforts to honor the land and the communities involved in bringing food to our plates are happening. They are happening. And it's one of the biggest movements in agricultural today. Is that consumers are now asking for food that is grown fairly. And having these concerns and voicing them and supporting them in our shopping does make a difference. Yesterday, a few of us went out to Lyons and the Sodus area, and we toured camps of migrant workers in the orchards. Trust me, apples taste a lot different after you've shaken the hands of those who picked them off the trees, after they have welcomed you into their homes, and after learning about the labor conditions in the fields. Seasonal. As apples are one of Western New York's most plentiful seasonal crops this time of year, but we all know the snow will eventually fly, and then we're faced with this dilemma of standing in the grocery store paralyzed by indecision.
Should I buy the fair trade green beans that have been flown in from South America? Or the organic produce that was grown in California? Oh. And it's also important not to beat ourselves up with guilt. The very fact that we're starting to think about what we buy and eat is part of the solution. And all of us will make difficult choices or compromises from time to time. But one thing that really helps is to do our best to eat what is seasonal. So know what those crops are. Know what those foods are. My daughter Nora and I were at Wegmans last week, and she wanted an orange so badly. I tried to explain to her, honey, oranges aren't grown in Rochester, and the orange would have to come from very, very far away for her to eat one. I showed her the little sticker on the orange. I said, see, it's grown in Chile. She looked at me. Chili? See, Mom? It's from right here. I didn't know that they grew them. Trying to explain the difference between the country, South America, where we live, but 5,291 miles, that orange came so she could eat it. And without some education, my four-year-old could grow up like most of us do, with no connection to where our food is grown. Oranges from South America in September, strawberries from California in January, and tomatoes from Florida in March. Eating seasonal food, one of my favorites, connects us to the seasonal rhythms that God designed. And it includes waiting for those strawberries in spring grown right here. And also a time of plenty when the tomatoes are falling off the vines this time of year. So we're to our final S. Slow. Local, ethical, seasonal, slow. Eating slow is the opposite of our grabbed and gobbled fast food culture that compromises flavors and textures for speed and convenience. Even in the midst of our very busy lives, it isn't as though we have lost our interest or love of food. After all, we have entire cable network TV shows devoted to food. Anyone a fan of my favorite, Cupcake Wars? Top Chef Martha Stewart, Rachel Ray, Chopped. Some of these are even prime time now. In 2009, a New York Times article called Out of the Kitchen and Onto the Couch, Michael Pollan wrote that today the average American spends a mere 27 minutes a day on food preparation. Less than half the time it takes to watch an episode of our favorite food show. We spend more time watching the images of cooking than actually doing it. And this isn't a matter of not having the time, but reallocating our time to feed a hunger that can actually be satisfied. I still have not had Rachel Ray pass a dish through the TV yet. We feel like we're trapped in a system where the cheapest food is the worst food for our health, for the world's poor, and for animals. But the fact is, we do have a choice. Every single time a scanner reads the barcode on a food item we buy, we are casting a vote. Supermarkets only stock what the public wants. We need to vote with our food choices, and change will come. ultimately, what we eat and how we eat it is a matter of choice. But as our reading from 1 Corinthians says it, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. We can make choices, not to simply seek our own good, but the good of others. So we're challenged to learn together how to envision and enact a just food system. And as we do, we will be living out the values of the kingdom of God. So let's learn to eat less. Local, ethical, seasonal, slow. That reminds us to give time to what is important. To invest in the relationships that matter most with God, with others, and with creation. These surely aren't new ideas dreamt up by modern-day environmental hippies. Can't be. These ideas are woven through the stories of Scripture. And for those who might remember, these posters from World War II could have written my sermon today. And my favorite. Friends, may we all hold in our hearts these words to the church in Corinth. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
Dorothy Munt, I just wanted to ask for prayers for a baby by the name of Madison, who died recently from complications at birth. Her sister, well, I should say her grandmother's sister, is a friend of mine. And I don't know where she was, but she was very tiny and had lots of problems. So prayers for her.
Cheryl Battaglia, I just want to say happy birthday to our mom, Joyce Kern, over there. So if you see her, wish her a happy birthday. Love you, Mom.
My son will be operated on the 28th. They're fusing 5 vertebrae in his back. And it's a 7-hour operation on the 28th. Second operation on the 29th. So he needs your prayers.
Ed Coons. My mom's been in Island Hospital this past week, and I'd ask your prayers. Hopefully Monday she'll be getting into a rehab, and hopefully soon after that she'll be back in Rochester Presbyterian Home in assisted living. Thank you.
Well, I wasn't going to announce it because I was trying to protect him from Frona, but I'm pleased to have my dad visiting from Phoenix, Arizona this week. So well, Frona already got him, I guess. So.
Yeah. Cheryl Fennell, prayers of Thanksgiving. My mom, it's almost been 2 weeks, and she's getting back to her feisty self after her surgery, so we're real grateful for that. Thank you.
Bonnie Becca, and I am with joy going to listen to Carol Ann's talk about her sabbatical. I want to find out how she fits 6 weeks of adventure into 1 hour.
Me neither.
Clarion Cress, I'm just really blessed with another grandchild born September 4 to Carla in Florida. So I've been out of community for a few weeks, but things are going very well. 4 kids under 6. It's busy.
Allison Tuttle. I want prayers for my parents. They've been going through a really rough time right now. So prayers for them, and I hope everything works out.
Let us pray. God of our past, our present, and our future, we come this morning thankful for the world that you've given to us. As we see the tinge of orange on the leaves, the apples on the trees, and the geese soaring, we're reminded of the beauty and wonder of your creative design. Yet we confess that sometimes we act as if you created the universe just for us. We forget the generations behind us, as well as the generations in front of us. Remind us, O God, to cherish our earth and all who live upon it. Remind us that in your design, we are interdependent upon each other. And we come praying this morning for peace in our world. We are desperate to find a path of peace beyond political parties, religious righteousness, and governmental systems. A path to shalom. The current unrest shakes our hope. And we hear our silent paths of peace. We wonder if we'll ever see that peace. And this morning we pray for the Westphal family as they mourn the loss of Jack. We celebrate Jack's life and all the ways we were touched by his life. We give you thanks for his love for this church and his faithful service to it. And we give you thanks for his smile and his humor and the joy he spread to all of us who knew him. Oh God, we come asking that you hear us pray together the prayer that your Lord taught our disciples, his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward.
Thank you.